Module 3, Freedom, and Stage 13, Responsibility. Relating as adult to adult. Most committed relationships that end in separation were out of balance in terms of responsibility. One partner was over-responsible and the other under-responsible. When couples try to change this system of interaction in their relationship, it's often the beginning of the end of the relationship for some people. Meanings and attitudes within us keep us operating in the under-responsible or over-responsible style. One may have to make some major changes to come from an adult, flourishing relationship. Equal responsibility relationships are more flexible and able to adjust to stress and change, and therefore are more likely to last. Have you noticed how there are people who seem to like to carry others, fuss over them, and help them make lunch? They seem more interested in taking care of others in contrast to looking after and caring for their own needs in equal balance. Of course, it takes both kinds of people to make this work, for there are others who are always wanting someone to take care of them. They do not seem to be able to make it and need help from someone else. Notice also the sergeants, ordering everyone around and acting as though they know how things should be done. They are heard saying, "You should," or "You ought," and are critical of people in life. The people they order around and criticize tend to be either helpless and obedient, or rebellious and disobedient. Experience has shown that 99% of people attending seminars discover that they had an imbalance of responsibility in their relationships. This appears to be a major cause of marital or relationship breakdown, because the responsibility is not equal. The relationship is not flexible enough to adjust to stress and change. Take a moment to look back at your relationship. Were you the over-responsible helper or the dominating person? Or perhaps you were the under-responsible, helpless or rebellious partner. If either of you tried to change this pattern, the relationship became troubled, and that was maybe the beginning of the end. And the person who tried to change this rigid structure of responsibility into a more flexible adult relationship is often looked upon as the bad person who essentially upset the apple cart. I hope you can start simply describing what happened instead of needing to label people as good and bad. Life is a process of changing, and the person who instigates change may simply be a part of the life process. Using my work from transactional analysis, what I am talking about is similar to the parent and child ego states. The parent ego state is the over-responsible part of the personality, and the child ego state is the under-responsible part of the personality. Sigmund Freud also used similar terms when he talked about the superego, the potentially over-responsible aspect of our personality, and the id, the under-responsible part of the personality. Sigmund Freud also used similar terms when he talked about the superego, the potentially over-responsible aspect of our personality, and the id, the under-responsible part. The under- and over-responsible parts of personality not only come into play when we interact with others, but are important within ourselves and how we have this inner dialogue with the various aspects of ourselves. Most of my clients over the past 35 years who have worked with me were having an internal war between the over- and under-responsible parts of their personalities. This internal strife was consuming much of their emotional energy. They were looking for the internal peace of mind. Either the over-responsible part of the personality is winning the war, leaving them feeling guilty, drained, inhibited, controlled, and driven, or the under-responsible part was winning, and they were impulsive, violent, irresponsible, and also helpless. Whichever side is winning, the losing side is continually striking back, and so the war goes on. Some participants in my seminars report the major emotional issues were not in their relationship and between themselves and their partner, but within themselves, and their partner was the spectator and not the participant. not resolving this inner conflict can have serious consequences for one's relationships. In one seminar, Charlie began to introduce himself to the group. "My name is Charlie, and I've been married for 31 years." At this point, he broke down and cried. Later, during the discussion session at the end of the evening seminar, Charlie asked if he had been the over-responsible helper in his marriage. When one of the group said that they felt he had been, Charlie asked, "Does my being over-responsible have anything to do with her dumping me?" A woman in the group stated profoundly, "Kids grow up and leave home, Charlie." This graphic description allowed Charlie to see beyond the blaming and the guilt. The vast majority of participants in my seminars call themselves over-responsible. I was puzzled by this. Shouldn't there be an equal number of over- or under-responsible people taking the seminar? To find the answer, I went to work to better understand these over-responsible people. A close look at the two types of over-responsible people shows that they're not just giving others a hand, when it's needed, to make it through a difficult time. They seem to be busy finding people to rescue so that neither the rescuer nor the person being rescued makes any good progress. They seem to enjoy looking after the other person rather than being responsible for themselves. It seems obvious that they need to get on with their own lives. These people are great at giving to others, but have difficulty taking gifts, compliments, and help from others. They learned at an early age to get their emotional kicks and reward by taking care of others. Frank was 10 when his father was seriously injured. Frank took over the responsibility for running the home, and not only did the physical work, but also made the decisions. He became an over-responsible young man, receiving recognition for his grown-up way in which he acted. Unfortunately, even in his relationship, he was never able to develop the fun-loving, irresponsible child part of his personality. After his separation, he was able to go through his teenage development and become a more complete, whole person. Many over-responsible, helping people are nurturing others because they really need to be nurtured themselves. They learned to take care of others to compensate for their feelings of loneliness, lack of emotional nurturing, and feelings of rejection. Simply, how can you reject someone who's taken care of you? In her relationship, Mary was always very responsible with the money. She decided how to spend the money, even though many times Carl would criticize how much money she would be spending. She usually also set the alarm clock before they went to bed, and would shut it off in the morning, and always made sure Carl got up on time to make it to work. One day, Mary realized that she had 3 children, and she was tired of being married to one of them. She began to change things so that Carl had to take more responsibility, such as sorting out the money and getting himself to work in the morning. Shortly after this, he began an affair with another woman. As another example, Karen was reluctant to take the seminar because she wanted a course that would help her children. After we discussed how the over-responsible person is a good giver but a poor taker, I asked if I could give her a hug. She jumped at the opportunity, came rushing over to me, and gave me a hug. I backed off and pointed out that I would give her a hug. "I'll try to take a hug," she said, and stood there stiff as a board, stiff and uncomfortable. After about 2 seconds, she said, "I can't stand this anymore," and grabbed me again. Since the homework for the week was for the nurturing person to take rather than always be giving, I emphasized to Karen that she needed to work on this particular homework. Next week, she came back and shared with the group how she had worked at letting her children give back to her. It was such an important change in her behavior, and she had some tears while talking to the group. I again asked if I could give her a hug, and she said yes, whilst waiting for me to come over to the other side of the room to her. I hugged her, and she broke into uncontrollable sobbing, and shared with the group that this was the first time she had really been able to emotionally take since she was a very, very young child. If you scratch the surface of an over-responsible helping person, you usually find a child part of that person that needs to be loved unconditionally. Are you one of those over-responsible helping people? If so, do you realize how easy it is for you to continue in that role when you enter another relationship? Remember the example earlier of Margaret, who liked to bring home stray cats and nurse them back to good health. She grew up, brought home another stray cat, and married him. She knew he drank a little while they were coming together, meeting each other, building the relationship, but she had no idea that he was an alcoholic. She was able to leave and separate from him, but she found after several more relationships that, yes, you've guessed it, she was continuing the pattern. If you don't change yourself internally, you will probably find yourself continuing self-defeating patterns of behavior. You too could be bringing home stray cats. Now, to some suggestions for you to explore in creating change. Here, if you like, is the homework that we use in the seminars to help people begin to change this pattern of giving and never taking. The first is to say no next time a person asks you to do something. The over-responsible style, which transactional analysis calls the nurturing parent behavior, is to always say yes to anything anyone asks of you. You can always depend on old Mary to do a responsible job. But saying no is only part of the homework. The second part of this assignment is to ask someone to do something for you. Do not pay for it. Do not promise to do something in return. Don't cheat and explain that it was suggested as part of your homework. Just ask. Are you now aware of your fear of being rejected? Most of us learned to be the helping person to compensate for feelings of rejection. So this homework not only attempts to change the giving and never-taking style that drained you emotionally, but it also forces you to deal with the possibility of rejection. The more extreme you are in this helping role, well, naturally, the more difficult this homework's going to be for you. I can almost hear some of you exclaim, "I can't ask anyone to do something for me." I've had many people over the past 20 years in my seminars who said this. And my response is, some of you may not be strong enough to change at this time. But maybe you'll be able to think this even if you can't do it in practice. So begin, give it a try. Maybe it's going to be easier than you think. Some people hold the sexist view that it's only females that become over-responsible helping people. I believe that our society does encourage women to play this helping role, saying in many ways that it's a woman's role is to help and support the husband. But in my seminars, males are just as over-responsible. So it appears that the development of the over-responsible helping personality has to do with other factors than whether you were born male or female. Let's look again at why so many participants in seminars are helping people. One answer is that they are continuing the pattern of being over-responsible. They take the seminar because that would be a responsible thing to do. But underneath, I believe there's another need operating, because the seminar and working with me is emotionally warm and supportive, and people are taking the seminar to get the nurturing they need.